Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14 and verse, we'll read responsively verses 14 through 20. Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 14 all the way through verse 20, and then we'll turn to another passage of Scripture, and then we'll pray and get into the message this morning. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle under the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Then look at chapter 16, and we'll read verses 13 through 16 responsively. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, you ever hear someone say they got a frog in their throat? Yeah, look at what they are. They're like the devil. Not really good. And come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, dear God, for the future and what it beholds for us. I pray, dear God, you bless us. You give us ears to hear. Help us, dear God, this passage and this sermon to motivate us to do what we can to reach the lost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these two passages in the book of Revelation, along with Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 20, describe what we would call, or what is known as, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, while the current world in which we live has been at war throughout its history, this one will exceed all others, as the armies of the world gather together to do battle or make war with the Lamb, who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, this great battle was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah. And he writes this in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. Then we read this in Zechariah 14, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And Jesus, of course, he spoke of this in the Olivet Discourse. And he said this in Luke chapter 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Zechariah prophesied of this event 500 years before Christ's first coming. Jesus spoke of it nearly 2,000 years ago, and we read of it coming to pass in the book of Revelation. Now, the armies of the earth, under the leadership of the Antichrist, they surround Jerusalem. But then Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, the very place where he ascended into heaven, and we see what is written in Zechariah 14, verse 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, two things will take place when Christ splits the Mount of Olives in two. This will create an escape route for many of the Jewish people who are besieged by the enemy in Jerusalem. But it will also cause the enemy to retreat north, where they gather at the Valley of Armageddon. Now, the name Armageddon comes from two Hebrew words, har, meaning hill, and Megiddo, meaning place of troops or place of slaughter. Now, in the Bible, it is also called the Plain of Esdraelon and the Valley of Jezreel. Now, years ago, about 10 years ago, I happened to see that place. There I saw the little hill in that valley that was a beautiful valley. And I saw that little hill. And that little hill, there was the city of Megiddo. Now, it was located in times past there on pretty much a flat plain. But the hill of that city has been conquered and rebuilt over 20 times on the very same location. And that's why you got a hill there today. This valley is 14 miles wide. It is 20 miles long. And according to Napoleon, not Napoleon Dynamite, the general, it is the best battlefield site in the entire world. This was a place where Barak and Deborah, they were victorious over the Canaanites. This is where Gideon defeated the Midianites, where King Saul died in battle with the Philistines, and King Josiah met his fateful clash with the Egyptians. I have read that there are at least 34 bloody conflicts that have been fought here over the last 4,000 years, but none will be as bloody or change the course of this world as the Battle of Armageddon that is yet to take place. For 7 long years, the world has now been subject to the rule of the Antichrist and the false religion that is imposed upon them by the false prophet. They have gone through the 7 sealed judgments, the 7 trumpet judgments, as well as the 7 vial judgments. And this Christ-rejecting, God-hating world is likened to fully ripened grapes that'll be cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. As the tribulation comes to a close, we find Jesus coming again the second time to clean up the mess that man has made of the world that God himself has created. In heaven, all have been waiting for this moment. And the questions asked of the martyred saints of the tribulation to come, "Oh, how long, O Lord," is now answered. Now, this is going to be a time when Jesus appears with his saints. Unlike the rapture, which took place 7 years earlier when Christ came in the air for his own, he now returns to the earth with his own. All the people of the earth will see him when he comes to the earth the second time. He's not coming to save. He's coming to judge the world. And he's coming and he's not looking to be just a simple prophet that people believe him to be. But he's coming as God Almighty. And boy, is he mad. In Matthew 24, verse 30, it says this: "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Revelation chapter 1 verse tells us Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. When he comes back with his saints, there are some things given to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it tells us this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've read the Old Testament, you would have read about an angel. And he slew 185,000 of the enemies of the Jews in one night. It's not said he was a mighty angel. He was just an angel. These are mighty angels. This is going to startle the masses as they see Christ, along with the heavenly host as he comes in might and power, taking vengeance upon the lost and condemned. Then he comes to be glorified in his saints. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 tells us, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now the saints will be with him, and at that time we will be like him. Our lives will be totally transformed, and we'll act as a visible reflection of his grace that he has bestowed upon us. We will reflect his glory and radiate the beauty and character of Christ. Those believers on earth at that time, they're going to marvel that we are perfectly transformed, and they will be amazed at Christ's majesty and the reality of his word being fulfilled and their prayer being answered that he would come again. Then we see he comes to destroy the man of sin and the son of perdition. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Christ returns with his own at the end of the tribulation, it will so alarm the armies of the Antichrist that they'll fall back from their destruction of Jerusalem and then regather themselves in the valley of Megiddo, and this will be where the last world war will be fought. This battle is a direct war of those under the rule of Satan, incarnate in the armies of heaven led by Jesus Christ. It's those headed for hell battling against the Lord from heaven. It is the weak, puny arm of man against the Lord of glory. It is they and the Antichrist, and they don't stand a chance and cannot win. Their defeat is certain, for they are way overmatched. Someone has said, this is just another one of Satan's attempt to do away with the Lord Jesus Christ. His first attempt was made through Herod and all the children of Bethlehem, 2 years of age and under, slain in an effort to kill the Christ child. His second attempt was when he took Christ up to the pinnacle of the temple and urged him to jump off. His third attempt was made through the Pharisees who tried to stone Jesus to death. His fourth attempt was made by having Christ condemned by the Sanhedrin and have him being crucified. And in this attempt that takes place at the Battle of Armageddon, once again he fails. I know he's a liar. I know he's the father of it. But when he goes against Christ, he is a loser and the father of all those who go against our Lord. We read this in Joel chapter 3, verse 9 through 14. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Christ will defeat his enemies at this battle. As easy as a farmer wields a sickle or plucks grapes and crushes them to make grape juice. It is said that after this battle that the valley be filled with blood as high as the horse's bridle, and that is nearly 4 feet high. Isaiah describes the armies of the Antichrist in their defeat in Isaiah 63, verse 1 through 6. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wonder who that is. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trod in the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the earth. This is not some obscure event that is tucked away in the Bible in a verse or two. This is mentioned several times, and it is quite clear that when Christ reveals himself to one and all on this earth, he is furious, he is angry, and the day of his vengeance will happen, and the strength of the Antichrist and those who oppose Christ will fail them, and they will quickly be destroyed. The bitter cup of God's wrath will be drunk. The harvest of sin will be reaped, and the vine of the earth cut down and cast into the winepress. The most descriptive account of this time that comes when Christ comes to claim his earth, which happens to be rightfully his, and to fulfill his word concerning this battle, is found in Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21. There we are told what John saw, and it is a true saying of God. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. What does that signify, preacher? Means it was a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. There once again you see the Lord's indignation. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He should rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on a thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together and make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and then that worshipped his image. These both are cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And the fowls filled, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. The rider on the white horse, mentioned in verse 11, is Christ. And he is coming back to the earth with his people to conquer his enemies and to establish his kingdom. Notice the emphasis on Jesus' name. He is called faithful and true. In contrast to the beast who broke the covenant with Israel and ruled by the means of deception. He has a name written which no man knew, according to verse 12. So it's absolutely useless for us to speculate what it is. But it is exciting to know that we will know some new things that we currently don't know about our Lord today. He is the Word of God. And the Father reveals himself to us through the Son, just like we reveal what's in our hearts by the words that we speak. He, like the Word of God, is quick and powerful and fulfills his purpose on earth. Christ's most important name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is his victorious name, and it speaks of his sovereignty. The greatness of Christ is not only seen in his names mentioned in this passage, but also the description of this king who came to conquer his foes. His eyes were as a flame of fire, symbolizing his searching judgment that sees all. Many crowns speak of his right to rule over all the kings of the earth. The vesture dipped in blood illustrates the conquest of his enemies. It is not his blood on the vesture, it is the blood of his foes. The sharp sword is a symbol of God's word and is keeping with the fact that Christ will consume the enemy with the spirit of his mouth, and in keeping with what is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, where we read, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The rod of iron is a symbol of justice, as he will rule in righteousness. And the winepress is associated with the crushing defeat of his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus does not return alone, however. The armies of heaven follow him. This would be the angels as well as the saints. It will not be necessary for the army to fight, for Christ himself will defeat the enemy. Now, I must admit, I sure would like to lay hold of some of those who has blasphemed God, who rejected Christ, and are ripened for judgment. Now, I know the Lord doesn't need my help, but I sure would like to be a participator and not regulated, a mere spectator. But be as it may, if he's busy over there, I might get one or two, and he might tell me like he told Peter, "John, put your sword up." Christ will defeat the armies gathered against him. These armies have assembled to fight against the Lord. Their weapons are useless, and the battle turns out to be a slaughter of epic proportions, and it becomes a supper for scavenger birds. All our Lord has to do is speak the word. The battle's over. It'll be the shortest, most bloody, victorious war that has ever been fought on earth. Jesus will first take out the beast and the false prophet, the leaders of this revolt, and it is only right that these two are taken and cast alive into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, where they'll be the first men to arrive in that place prepared for the devil and his angels. And yes, 1,000 years later, they'll be joined by all those whose names are not written in the book of life. When you read the first part of Revelation chapter 19, you read of a marriage supper of the Lamb. But in the end of the chapter, you see the supper of the great God as flesh-eaten birds come to clear away the carcass of those who oppose Jesus Christ. This battle precedes what is known as the millennial reign of Christ, where he'll establish his righteous kingdom here on this earth. While Christ, our commander and captain, is victorious in the battle of Armageddon, may we commit ourselves in our time to fight the good fight of faith by staying true to God's word, have unyielding love for Jesus Christ, remain faithful and true all of our days. May we endure hardness as one of his good soldiers. May we put on the whole armor of God at all times and live the victorious Christian life. The lost are those who are on the losing side. The saved in Christ are those who are on the winning side. We should be singing, I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And in him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul since I gave him full control. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. You know what? It kind of looks like they're winning right now, doesn't it? But the end has not yet come. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.